Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
The Weekend Warrior, every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m.
on ESPN LA 710.
Dedicated to you, the fan who works hard all week and slugs it out on the court, the field, the big box store, and the honey-do list all weekend long. And helping you cope as you come to the realization you're not 19 any longer. Here's board-certified orthopedic surgeon Dr. Robert Clapper.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. So excited to be with you. Because of the coronavirus, I'm home. Rebecca Womble's in the studio. Steve Paulette is putting things together as well. My guest coming up at 8:15, you don't want to miss. He's the owner of my favorite Mexican restaurant here in Los Angeles. It's in Manhattan Beach on Rosecrans and Highland, and it's called El Tarasco. And I've been eating there for 40 years since I came to California for the first time in 1983, almost 40 years. Oh, my God. And their signature dish, we're going to learn about it at 8:15, is called the Junior Super Deluxe. How this came about, Ricardo Palomo, the owner, his sister, at 8 years old, apparently, came up with this idea of putting five things in one. But not the Super Deluxe, the Junior Super Deluxe. And it made me think all week. Junior. What does that mean? That means there was a senior, and you, what did you do with your life as a junior? You know I love the world of art, the world of sports, the world of surgery. Where do we see the Junior Super Deluxe in these fields? Well, in sports, the greatest junior, and that was his name, was Ken Griffey Jr., a 13-time All-Star. 1997, he was the MVP of baseball. 10 times gold gloves. He got 99% of the Hall of Fame vote when he was inducted in 2016. He was one of the greatest baseball players to ever play. They call him a five-tool player because he could run, hit, throw, catch, and slide. He was a terror at the plate. You know what's delicious at a plate? The five ingredients that are in the Junior Super Deluxe from El Tarasco, but don't get me started. The pressure was great, and it's documented. While he was a teenager, he tried to kill himself twice, he said, because of the pressure of being junior. But he got through all of that to end up in the Hall of Fame. When you listen to how they break down his swing, how sweet it is, you'll be amazed. And in music, in art, my favorite saxophone player, Junior Walker. I don't know where the Walker came from because his name was really Autry DeWalt Mixon. But what he did with the saxophone was like the Junior Super Deluxe. He made something special. He plays at a range that other people don't play at. He just revolutionized that instrument, Junior Walker. Rebecca, let's listen to What Does It Take? So they can hear Junior Walker. It's like Eric Clapton on the guitar. He made the strings extra tight. That's why his guitar sounds different than everybody else. And he learned to play at that level. And when he sang, which he's about to do, his voice sounds like just like the saxophone that he's playing. It's amazing. Here it comes. What does it take to win your love from me? But in 1964, he met Berry Gordy at Motown, and they made a song called Shotgun. Let's listen to Shotgun. Berry Gordy put Junior Walker on the map. Wow. Let's listen to the great Al Green talking about meeting Junior Walker for the very first time in Battle Creek, Michigan. and how excited he was to meet someone who could combine this saxophone with his voice and the song as well. Listen to Al Green. Let's do one and two.
Got to go to Battle Creek and meet this man going, "Bon money, who need just to live a life free and easy with toothbrush in my hand. Let me be a traveling me thump out because I'm a road runner, baby." And I said, I kind of like that. And Junior Walker.
Absolutely.
He get his horn and start playing that thing. And I said, I get to scooting, and he get to playing that thing. I said, "Don't want no woman to tie me down." I tell you, I said, "Boy, you better go it on here. I got to keep free, baby, to roam around." I said, "Me too."
I could listen to Al Green read a menu and it would sound fantastic. Oh, my God. That's Junior Walker. How he was able to make stuff happen with the saxophone in a way nobody else could do it. Let's go to Junior Walker, sax legend. Let's listen to number five. This is a saxophone connoisseur breaking down first slow and then fast how Junior Walker made Shotgun come about.
So here is the first segment played slowly. Now here's that first segment, that first phrase played at full speed.
Let's listen to six.
Now here's that second phrase, played at full speed.
And now seven.
And third phrase, played at full speed.
And now all together. Oh, the great Junior Walker. Let's talk about sports. Where in sports do we see the greatness of Ken Griffey Jr., a junior surpassing senior? Listen to the Major League Baseball Tonight. Talk about the sweet swing that was Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey Jr.'s swing was the sweetest ever.
Pretty, man.
Right?
I know.
This is perfection. Dropping the bat the way he did, knowing he got it every time, it plays to your eye, man.
Well, it's just, yeah. The setup, standing straight up like that.
Yeah, the little, like, you know, the little bat rock. Uh-huh.
The little cocky bat drop, this thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. He was bat flipping before bat flipping was happening.
So Junior Walker played the saxophone in a range that other people were not comfortable at. He had that talent. Ken Griffey Jr. could hit a baseball like nobody else because he had a swing that nobody else can really do. He had the gift of being able to lean forward as the pitch is thrown. He can lean forward with his body, but at the same time, pull his arms away from the ball, stretching his pec major muscles to the maximum so that when he went to swing, it was like a rubber band at maximum tension and snap back with the bat, and that ball went over the fence 620 times. Let's listen to the hitting mechanics of Ken Griffey Jr., 1 and 3.
What it is basically this idea of creating tension in the body, storing energy, and then releasing energy. We talk a lot about the elastic band and how you have to pull the band back to store energy, create tension in the band. The further you pull it back, the more energy you can store. When you finally release it, you know, the faster and the further it's going to shoot. And this is the move that you see with Griffey. You see this move with most elite hitters. As they kind of move into the ball and then begin to rotate, you're going to see that they're going to pull back with their upper body.
And number three?
You know, you just get into the back, you pull back, and then it's like band can't pull back anymore and everything is fired. You can see his jersey, how much it's stretching right there. So again, you see this right there. You can see how much tension is really created. You know, and this is one of those things too where this is almost coached out of a lot of younger players because coaches are so worried about an arm bar. You know, most young players are taught to keep their elbow at a 45 degree or I should say 90 degrees. Most players are taught don't get your arm any straighter than 90 degrees. But when you watch major league players, you're going to see, you know, that angle is going to be way bigger than 90 degrees for almost every single player. You can't pull back unless you let this arm get a little bit straighter.
Let's listen through to Lou Piniella, his manager in Seattle, at his Hall of Fame speech. Let's go through 1 through 5, talking about Junior, the greatest junior in sports in my lifetime, Ken Griffey Jr., and what was so special about him doing all 5 things, just like the Junior Super Deluxe, having rice, beans, cheese, meat, and that enchilada sauce is unbelievable. Well, there's 5 things in Ken Griffey Jr., and there's 5 things in the Junior Super Deluxe. Let's listen to Lou Piniella.
The youngest all-century player, Ken Griffey Jr.
I played baseball with his dad. You know, his dad was a great player in his own right.
I was here first. You should be seeing it.
When he got to the big leagues, you could tell that he was a very talented young man.
Here's a young fella who's the story of spring training in Mariners camp, 19 years old.
Little did you know, in a few years, he would be the best player in all of baseball.
Unbelievable, Ken Griffey Jr. Holy smoke!
There wasn't anything that he couldn't do on the baseball field. You didn't go eat a hot dog when Junior came up the bat.
Griffey unloads to deep right. The game is over.
When he was out in the outfield.
Junior flying diamond makes the catch.
He made so many great plays.
Leaps up and he makes the catch. Amazing catch by Junior as he takes the home run away.
I compare him basically to the great Willie Mays.
Griffey leaps high in the air and he's got it.
Seeing him run the bases, I mean, gobbled up the ground.
Here is Junior at third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I don't believe it.
Look, I've seen some really good center fielders in my time. Never seen anybody that played like Junior did. You could tell that he was a superstar.
Bang. Did he know it? Absolutely.
He had his own style. He had his own flair.
Holy cow. That may have hit the warehouse and they announce it did.
He had that all-American smile. He had that nice little rhythm going. Beautiful follow-through. Always balanced. And he played it like he told me. I played this thing with reckless abandon. You know, that's the way he played the game. He had fun. When he came to the ballpark, he had a smile on his face, always needling people.
Always having fun, being balanced, having your own style, having a rhythm. At El Tarasco, those parents who started that restaurant, listening to an 8-year-old girl say, "How about this idea for a new dish?" and calling it the Junior Super Deluxe. How do you like those parents having fun with their 8-year-old listening to her and balancing those 5 ingredients? It's the greatest thing I've ever had in a Mexican restaurant, ever. And we're going to talk to the man who's carried on the tradition that his parents started. The great Ricardo Palomo from El Tarasco will be joining me next here on the Weekend Warrior Show on 710 ESPN.
Check this out. Weekend Warrior is on the air.
From the epicenter of sports in the Southland.
ESPN LA 7710. With Dr. Robert Clapper, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Health Associates.
Who is this? A new man. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. The great Rebecca Womble has come up with another one. Sammy Davis Jr., Mr. Bojangles. Oh, it's fantastic. I'm so excited to be joined right now with the owner of El Tarasco, my favorite Mexican restaurant in the world, which happens to be here in L.A., in Manhattan Beach, on Rosecrans and Highland. Welcome to the great Ricardo Palomo. Thanks for waking up early to be with us, Ricardo.
You betcha. How are you doing?
All right. So you're hearing about how Ken Griffey Jr. is a five-tool player. He can run, hit, slide, throw, bat. He can do everything. There's five ingredients in the Junior Super. You hear about Junior Walker, another junior in the music business, playing the sax at a level that no one else can because he did things with his own style and grace. Tell us the story about El Tarasco and how the Junior Super came about.
Well, the story there is one day back in the, I'm going to say, late 1960s, my parents, they had opened up a restaurant out there in Manhattan Beach. And my sister, my oldest sister, goes in the kitchen and says, you know what, I'm hungry and I want to make something different on my own. My parents said, go right ahead. She's about, mind you, she's about 8 years old. She goes up there and starts cooking up, heats up her tortilla, puts a burrito in there, puts some rice, the beans, the ground beef, lettuce, pulls it up, mole sauce on top, melted cheese, guacamole, sour cream. And my parents were looking at it and said, let's get a taste of that. So they go ahead and they taste it and say, you know what? You got something here. What do you want to call it? My oldest sister, Rosa, being 8 years old, says, you know what? I'm going to call this the Junior Super Deluxe. And that is our best-selling burrito to this day.
Can
Sold
I
millions
tell you
of
some...
those things. And it's just unbelievable what
Ricardo,
an 8-year old can create.
Yeah. She's the Mozart of Mexican food. 8 years old. She's a prodigy.
Yeah, unbelievable. You know, she still owns her own restaurant out there. She has a place out there in Venice Beach on Washington Boulevard.
Interesting.
So she's still in the business. She's still cooking up them burritos.
I remember going to El Tarasco. This has got to be 25 years ago. I've been going since 1983, but I sat down, and who sat down next to me? Lou Reed. Remember Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side?
Yes.
And he ordered, he made poor Manny and Valdo crazy because he had to have all kinds of, make it wet, not too dry. Not, it was like sitting next to a Jewish guy at a delicatessen. You know, put the eggs on the side, but not too much on the side. Make the eggs just a pain in the neck. But I'm going, oh, my God, that guy's voice, that's him. It was Lou Reed. So I can only imagine over the years at that countertop, did Phil Jackson ever come and eat there? Did any of the Lakers ever come and eat there?
Phil Jackson used to more frequent the place in El Segundo because, you know, they used to practice there in El Segundo. We used to have in El Segundo the Raiders, Jim Plunkett, Ronnie Lott, all these guys used to either go there, they used to go there and get their food and get it delivered because, you know, they used to practice there in El Segundo. And Bo Jackson, he was always going in there, picking up some food. It was great. I mean, there in Manhattan Beach, you know, we had a lot of celebrities. We still do.
And I don't want to divulge any top secret stuff, but I can't help it. The guacamole at El Tarasco is the greatest guacamole you'll ever have. And I think it was Valdo's brother. I don't want to get Valdo into trouble. Well, I finally couldn't take it anymore. And I said, how come this tastes so good? And he said, we put a little vinegar in with the idea that it keeps the guacamole from turning brown, but it actually flavors it to an extent with a little salt and just crush the avocados. Is that really all that's in your guacamole?
It's a little bit more than that, a little bit more ingredients than that. But yeah, it's a special kind of vinegar that my mom makes. Adds things to the vinegar that gives it that certain flavor, like a little spicy, not too much, just that little thing that that works. Because you don't want to overpower it.
Yes.
You know, and it works. We've never changed any of our recipes from back in the 60s. Everything is the same. I have you know, we have generations of people. The other day I was sitting there at the counter, this guy walks in, and he's telling me his story, that his dad used to bring him when he was like 6, 7 years old, and now he's taking his son. So, yeah, it's generations. We have generations going there to our restaurant, which is, you know, it makes me real proud to know that we're being able to serve all these generations over all these years.
Ricardo, my father, Abraham Clapper, used to say, the trip of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Tell us a little bit about the first step. Who was your dad? How did he get started? How did this all come about?
Well, my dad, both my parents came from Michoacán, Mexico. That's where the name El Tarasco comes from. The Tarasco Indians are from Michoacán. So anybody who knows Mexico, Michoacán, knows they see El Tarasco, they're like, oh, these people are from Michoacán. So my dad came down there, and he used to work, used to work the fields. Everybody did back in the days when they would come from Mexico, work the fields. And he was picking avocados, tomatoes, you know, head up to Washington, Idaho, potatoes, like all over the United States. Eventually, he made enough money to get an apartment and called for my mom. My mom came down here, would work in the factories, you know, 15-hour shifts. You know how it was back then, they had 15-hour shifts.
Wow.
And then my dad gets a job with Ramona's Tortilleria there in Gardena.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his stops was 316 Rosecrans in Manhattan Beach. Back then it was this place called The Galley. Very nice man. My dad told me about him. I said, hey, you know what, Moses? One day I'm going to retire, and I want you to buy this place off of me. Of course, my dad's like, I'm a poor man. I can't afford a place in Manhattan Beach. But the man said, I'm going to finance it to you. You will be here.
Wow.
And sure enough, a couple years later, the man told him, hey, I'm retiring. This is going to be you. We're going to work a deal.
And
my mom's family was like, you know what? Don't do it. Buy a house. Don't do it. It's going to be a big mistake. You guys don't know nothing about the restaurant business. My mom said, well, I like to cook. My husband's a hard worker. So we're doing it.
Wow.
And yeah, they got it and started adding things to the menu. You know, they started with tamales and tacos. And then my sister invents this burrito.
Wow.
And here we are today.
Everybody
in the business. Not only is there El Tarasco, my parents help so many people. There's over 100 restaurants. If you walk into a restaurant one day and you see that same burrito or you see the same menu, it's somebody that my parents helped.
Wow. Because Moses helped him, so he felt like paying it forward.
Yes. Yes, my dad said, hey, you know what? I don't need nothing. I don't need nobody to thank me. I don't need nothing. I'm living the American dream, and I want to share that.
Isn't that amazing? All right, I want to pick your brain a little bit because it's just so great to have the great Ricardo Palomo from El Tarasco, my favorite restaurant, on the line. Teach me a little bit about shredded beef versus chopped meat for my taco and my enchilada. I personally think having chopped meat tastes more delicious than shredded beef. And I get everybody has a different feeling about it. But from your perspective, what's the subtlety and the difference when you're working with chopped meat versus shredded meat?
It's like our chunky beef. It's just the way it's prepared. It's not cooked as long. When you use the chunky beef that we use, we cook it to a certain degree where the meat gets tender, but just doesn't fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
So when we cook it for the shredded beef, you just cook it a little bit longer, lower simmer to where the meat just starts falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. You're going to get, it's the same meat, you're just going to get something that's cooked a little bit longer and a different type of juice that we use for our chunky beef. You order chunky beef, you got the mole sauce on it, and then they cook it a while with the mole sauce. So it's just different in cooking, but the same meat, just a different.
Now, Ricardo, I'm Jewish, so you don't have to worry about me stealing any of the recipes, but I think Mexican food is one of the most underrated cuisines. Everyone talks about Chinese food and French food and Italian food, but trust me, Growing up in New York, all I had was Fritos corn chips. I didn't know what Mexican food was. You opened my eyes and your family to the great cuisine that is Mexican food. But I know this. The reason I love it so much is you can taste the love, but you can taste the work that goes into it. That mole sauce or enchilada sauce, teach me what is exactly in something like that. You know, you don't have to give away the top secrets, but it's not tomato sauce. It's mole sauce. It's what is in that stuff?
You know what? That is just a mixture of, well, it's a lot of little spices, a lot of different little things that you got to put in there. But, you know, it's the chilies, the dry chilies that you put in there, the water. It does take a little tomato paste that gives it that flavor. Some tomatoes, the way you cook them, and you got to get the tomatoes, put them in the oven, and throw those things in the blender and put them together. My guy who makes it in the morning for me, Oscar, I mean, you know, I don't call them my employees, they're my family.
That's right.
All these guys have been with us for many years, and they're just, I mean, you met them, the best crew in the world.
We
wouldn't be where we're at without them.
Please remind them that Dr. Clapper is now in the family. So, and I got to tell you, whenever I go there, Oscar and Valdo come out from behind the scenes. And if I eat all the chips and the salsa, they right away come and give me more. I want to kiss them. It tastes so good. That salsa of yours, it's more than tomatoes and green chilies, right? What else could be in that?
Yeah. No, our salsa is something that that's my mom's recipe. That's
really?
Something that she created, you know, back then. And I mean, I got people who go in there and drink the stuff. They go in and they order it. We sell it by the 32-ounce cup.
Listen, Ricardo, I'm a surfer. One day I'm going to come in my wetsuit and ask to swim in it. That's how much I love that sauce.
Oh, believe me, you're not the only one. The mole sauce, outside, all that, once you put all that together, you get the chips. And, you know, usually when you go to places and they give you the chips cut up, my mom and my dad said, oh, we want to be different. That's why you get the whole tortilla. You cut it up however the size you want to do it. And you just toss up. But yeah, definitely. We go through a lot of gallons of that salsa daily. And we make it fresh every morning.
Every morning,
of our food is fresh.
Where do you make it?
The next day, it's always turning.
You make it on Rosecrans, or you make it in another place and you bring it to Rosecrans?
No, each restaurant makes it at their locations. We have to train these guys. There's only three of them that know how to make everything. And these are the guys that, you know, we always take care of. We'll take care of all of them. But, I mean, these guys, they're on it. Some things they do just at one location, and we distribute it to other ones to make sure that flavor stays the same at each location.
You know, as the world is falling apart, Ricardo Palomo, it's so nice that your dad has given us a gift that even in the midst of this crisis, your takeout business is still there. People can still come, and you guys are doing just fine, thank you, with the takeout business. And I can't do enough to try and help you guys and to sing your praises. I want to thank you so much for joining us today and keep the business going.
Appreciate you. Yeah, I appreciate you. It's a crazy time we're living in right now, but you know, I mean, everybody just don't give up. Don't give up.
Well, Ricardo, you know, I like to say everybody's either pre-op or post-op. You now have an orthopedic surgeon in your family. The great Dr. Clapper is going to take care of you and everyone else you need because you've taken care of me for all these years. Thanks again for joining us. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you very, very much. And you guys get out there and support your local businesses. And let's get through this together.
Thank you. All right, Ricardo. Thanks so much. That's the great Ricardo Palomo from El Tarasco. Man, it's a countertop. Nothing has changed. But that Junior Super Deluxe will blow your mind. And when you go, tell Oscar, make sure you meet Valdo, and just tell him, Dr. Clapper sent you from the Weekend Warriors show. Ah, and my mouth is watering already. Coming up next, I'll take your calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show on 710 ESPN.
Check this out.
Weekend Warrior is on the air.
From the epicenter of sports in the Southland.
ESPN LA 7710.
With Dr. Robert Clapper, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Health Associates.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
That's right. Mahalo. Aloha.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Ahui hoi.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN. 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. We're doing this remotely. Rebecca Womble's doing a great job. Steve Paulette with the Facebook page. Oh, my God. What a great time I had with the owner of El Tarasco. And you can listen to this on the podcast. I got so many stories to tell you. And I also have to tell you about surfing this week because I'm not operating. The ORs are closed. Seeing patients, though, doing it telephonically. And some of patients seeing who are post-op. World's a different place right now, but we'll get through it together, which is why the importance of this show is here. The number is 877-710-ESPN if you want to talk to me. Right now, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Lizzie, who's been waiting an hour on the phone. I apologize for making you wait so long. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, doctor. Thanks for taking my call. I think of you as the weekend savage. You just rip through all the stuff and get to the point. I am a displaced Yankee who moved out here the same year you did. Uh-huh. And every time I hear your voice, I just want some latkes with sour cream and caviar. Not sure what that's about, but
you know that I heard that there is a delicatessen in Santa Monica, I think it's Froman's, that when you order brisket, instead of giving you the sandwich on bread, they give you the brisket as a sandwich with two potato latkes. Can you imagine?
Oh, I'm in heaven. I work at a community college, and
great.
My job is to give money away, help students navigate through the financial aid process.
Wow.
So
I love
I'm
you.
On the computer 40 hours a week. And unless I'm sitting them down and parenting them and telling them how to get through the application process.
Okay.
And what's happened is my right elbow really hurts. And I went to the doctors and they said, oh, it's probably tennis elbow.
Mm-hmm.
But it travels at night. It travels all the way up into my shoulder. Mm. And they want me to go to physical therapy. But with all the challenges that we're having right now, I live in Riverside. Mm-hmm. I work in Orange County. That's not an option.
Right.
So I was wondering if there's any kind of exercises or anything I could do to kind of alleviate the chronic pain that I'm having.
So let's do this. Let me try to examine you over the radio, which is, you know, a challenge, but let's see if we can do it. If you now take, which arm is it, right or left?
I'm right-handed.
Okay, and it's your right arm. I want you to take your hand, your right arm, palms up, okay? Facing palms up. Is the pain in your elbow on the thumb side of your elbow or on the little finger side of your elbow?
Little finger side.
The little finger side.
On my pinky side.
That, then you do not have a tennis elbow. You do not have a because that's the opposite side. That's the ulnar side. And do you get any numbness or tingling into your fingers?
No.
No. Good. All right. No, that's yeah. Go ahead. Say that again. So if there's no numbness or tingling, that's a good thing. That means it's confined to the tendon as well. And if you're actually feeling it also emanating from your shoulder, It's really rare to have a tendonitis in the elbow and also have a tendonitis in the shoulder. This is a tough one for me to try to figure out over the radio. No numbness or tingling, and yet it's in your shoulder and it's in your elbow and it's positional. The place I would really start is to see if you can order online a sleeve, kind of the same material that my wetsuit's made of, neoprene. You don't need anything fancy. You don't spend a lot of money on it. But if you actually wore a padded sleeve on that elbow, it's got to be related to the position of your elbow and all the computer work that you're doing and the fact that you're leaning your elbow on for all those hours on the desk to be able to do this. And my sense is strengthening is great. I love doing strengthening exercises. I hate cortisone shots. Don't let anybody try to numb it up with any kind of needle. And to just tell you, take Advil does not really solve the problem. We got to figure out why is it that you're having this tendonitis happening. But the first step I would take before you get an X-ray and MRI, and like I say, like you say, in these challenging times, living in Riverside, working in Orange County, temporarily while until things settle down where you can get an X-ray and an MRI and a good exam, that's what I would vote for, is to get yourself a sleeve, buy it on Amazon, and wear that while you're doing your computer work. Okay?
Yes. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All right, young lady. Keep in touch with me. If this persists, it's now the end of March. If we get into May and you've worn the sleeve for a month and you don't feel better, then please call me back and we'll go further.
I got to tell you one more thing.
Yes.
My boyfriend Abraham said to make sure I say hi to you.
Your boyfriend Abraham, did I do his hip surgery?
No, but you've talked to him many times.
Tell him I already love him because his name is Abraham and that was the name of my father.
Thought you might appreciate that. All right.
Yes.
Thank you so much, doctor.
All right, Lizzie. Have a great day. God bless you. All right. How are we doing, Rebecca? Any other calls? Mitch from New Jersey. Okay, let's talk to Mitch.
Doctor, how are you today? Hope everything's good and safe. You're healthy?
Yeah. I'm healthy. I'm doing okay, but they got me doing the radio show from my house, which I've never done in 9 years. I've never been locked up in my house before like this. But I figured, you know what, rather than just playing best ofs, to be able to make this all happen and having the technology geniuses of Rebecca and Steve Paulette, it was unbelievable. So here I am. And are you calling from New Jersey or you live here and you're from New Jersey?
I'm from Staten Island, but I live in New Jersey. I listened to Tarzan in the 80s for a couple of years.
So you're still listening to it on the computer? That's how you're listening to us?
On my app. I'm listening to my Android. I have the iHeartRadio.
Unbelievable.
All tunes.
What do you do for a living?
I still work at FedEx. Thank God it's a necessity, but I wish I can be like you and work from home, but it's impossible to pull that off. So.
Do you ever meet the guy who invented FedEx?
FedEx. They'll be there forever. It's getting scary with this coronavirus. You got to wear gloves. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
6 feet.
Yeah.
It keeps forgetting, you know? Stay 6 feet from people. Get in and get out.
Listen, does anybody ever make fun of your accent? Because the more I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to start to deteriorate, as they say.
Well, I'm sorry about that. You know, you remind my dad. My dad had a photographic memory, but he was happy being a teacher for 30 years.
Yeah.
Not even. It was about 30 years. God rest.
You know,
him.
He had
a photograph. He loves history, but, you know, it seems like history is repeating itself for the last 2,000 years.
Yeah,
well, I'm calling you back. I went through I went through therapy. They had to end it because of the coronas. They gave me exercises for my right hip. It's stiff. My right quad was weaker than my other one. That's coming back. I'm doing exercise at home.
Good.
I just want to ask you. He's telling me I have an arthritic hip. It's not a question of if, it's when I get the hip replacement.
Yes.
And I don't think I'll be able to continue working FedEx. And so my brother says, you get this operation before you retire, not after. If you save yourself a few bucks. But is that really impossible to continue my kind of my line of work, having a hip replacement on the my right hip?
How young are you?
Is that the same genetic?
How old are you?
I'm 58. How you doing, young lady? I'm sorry.
58 years old. Yeah, you could return to FedEx. I got a lot of people running around doing stuff. You know, as a guest calling into my show, you've heard William Shatner. Remember Captain Kirk? He called into the show to tell us that he's riding his horse 3 weeks after the hip surgery. He's riding his horse again, and he's you know, 30 years older than you. So yeah, you can go back and you do it to get your life back. You can ski. You can play tennis. You can hike. It's so rewarding. And the way we do it now is different than the ways we did it in the old days of a hip replacement. The implants are much smaller, more customized. We don't cut the muscle. People go home the same day. It's called minimally invasive. It's a whole different ball of wax. And the materials, now I like to use ceramic as a ball. This should last the rest of your life as you run around. So, yes, you want to fly out to Los Angeles? Be my pleasure to help you. You want to stay in New Jersey? I would go to the hospital for special surgery. Go see my buddy Ed Sue or Robert Bully. You got some good people there that you can see.
The good rule of thumb, just postpone it as long as possible, as long as the pain is bearable.
Here are the two tipping points, Mitch, for you to remember. When is it going to be time? Here's the two tipping points I want you to think about. Because you decide when, not the x-ray and not the doctor. Tipping point number one, the pain is so bad it wakes you up from a deep sleep. Having sex is painful. Your life is miserable. You're limping terribly. That's the first tipping point. The second, now your back starts to hurt. Your other hip, your knee. You start ruining other joints because of it, then it'll be time for you to take care of it. In the meantime, the book I wrote, Heal Your Hips with Linda Huey, will help you, show you the exercise. Do not let them stick a needle of cortisone in your hip. And thanks for keeping in touch with us, Mitch. I got to take a break. And thanks so much for calling. God bless you. All right, Warriors, we'll take some more calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show on 710 ESPN.
Check this out. Weekend Warrior is on the air.
From the epicenter of sports in the Southland.
ESPN LA 710. With Dr. Robert Clapper, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Health Associates.
And who might this be? Remember the days of just keeping time. Oh, hanging around. Harry Connick Jr. What a voice. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. So nice to be with you today, even under these crazy conditions. 31 years at Cedars, and I've never been more proud of my colleagues at the hospital, from the doctors, the nurses, the folks on the front lines helping to take care of you. The hospital literally is being turned upside down. I can't operate anymore. And but because they need the equipment to take care of people with the coronavirus and just to be up and running. So it's a beautiful thing to watch my hospital behave the way they're behaving, really being at the cornerstone of the community. You know, I see God in my life in two places, one in the operating room, and the other is in surfing. And this week I've had a lot more time to go surfing. I had a moment, though, this week was amazing. Talk about seeing God. I paddled out with my two buddies, Ed and Russ. The sun had not come up yet. It's dark. And all of a sudden, you can feel it. You can feel the waves starting to come in these sets. They come in groups. And my friend Ed said, "There it is, Doc, it's coming. The biggest one of the set." And I turned my board and I started to paddle. And I paddled. And it's 39 degrees. It's freezing. But I don't feel it because I'm so excited to try to catch this wave. And I paddle harder and harder. And all of a sudden, it's as though someone, the spirit above, God is tapping you on the shoulder and tells you, "You can stop paddling now and stand up. I'll take over from here." Whatever that energy is that's going through that wave, you now don't have to do anything but just stand and ride this glorious energy that's going through the water. It's just such a privilege to be able to do it. It's the gift I give myself for working so hard. Still seeing patients telephonically. I've learned so much by being on the radio about how to take care of people through the telephone now. Who knew that that would happen? Never in a million years. Let's talk about next week. Next week, I have a special guest calling in from Berkeley, California. His name is Nate Johnson, and his expertise is the wildlife that lives amongst us. For example, it's springtime. You hear the birds in your backyard or up in the trees or as you take a walk in your neighborhood. What exactly are those birds tweeting about? I always thought that they're welcoming the change of season, that spring is coming. Well, that's kind of what's going on. But Nate Johnson's written books. He's a world expert on what the birds are actually saying to each other. And it's not, hi, how are you? Isn't it great that it's the morning? The weather's beautiful. No. Guess what those birds are saying to each other? They're saying, get out of here. This is my backyard. Get out of here. This is my nest. They're actually fighting for territory. Oh, my God. And recently I read an article that Nate Johnson put together about why different flowers create their certain sense of smell, sense of color, sense of style. It's all because of evolution. This guy really is going to open our eyes to the world that's around all of us. And boy, could we use that now to appreciate that spring is coming. So that'll be next week. I cannot wait to talk to him. And certainly we'll be talking about food, because I just went to Oxnard and got buckets of strawberries, which I invite all of you to do as well, because I'm going to learn how to make my own strawberry jelly. Yeah, that's right. I never did this before. Homemade strawberry jelly. What do you do with a bucket of them? I'm going to learn, and I'll tell you all about it next week. Until then, I leave you with Volare, which means I'm singing and I'm flying. Until next week, I'll see you on the radio. Nel cielo.